happy to say that I have a guest in, and I know he's been on a few radio stations over the past week, but there's been a lot of publicity over the past week about what has happened to him. And I'm delighted to say Mark has joined me in the studio. Now, Mark, you're going to tell your story. Just a brief, I'm going to just say a little bit about what happened, and you're going to talk to us about exactly what happened. So you joined Grindr, which is a dating app for the gay community to hook up with someone. You've been on this before. You said you've never had really any problems before. Tell us a little bit what happened on, was it last Tuesday now?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday night. I was just sitting at home watching a bit of telly, and my phone beeped. It was a message from that website, Grindr. I wasn't kind of going to answer, but I did. And anyway, had a pleasant, kind of innocent conversation with somebody who was local that wanted to meet. There was no suggestion made about why we were going to meet, probably just to meet, see what, you know, if we were compatible in some way. As I said, very innocent conversation. The person lived down behind, apparently, or allegedly, behind the Odeon Cinema. And he asked me if I'd like to come meet and, you know, down at the cinema. I did. I agreed.
Now, can I just stop you there? Yep. We know we're based here in Coolock, so the Odeon is just down the road from us here. The app for Grindr, is it just to talk and text in each other? Do you have a phone number for this person?
You do. You do. But not everybody wants to give out, you know, their personal or more personal details on it. And it's kind of like a bit of an honour system a lot of the time. Really? And also, I mean, it's, you know, including myself, it's up to the individual to take the necessary kind of security.
Okay, so you were just contacting through a message.
Yeah,
Had arranged to meet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went along and met.
We're just going to meet up and we go for a coffee over at the Burger King or something. There was nothing arranged. We're just going to meet.
Okay, so where were you going to meet?
Literally right outside the door of the Odeon. And that was suggested to me, and I felt comfortable with it because it was in the open, and it was in a busy area, was reasonably well lit, and so I went over on my merry way to meet this person. Now on the way over, I got a few messages from him, because at this point I just thought it was him, just if I wanted to, or he didn't want to walk down that laneway, the dark laneway between Tonlagy Road and the Odeon, would I come down there and help, like, walk up with him? And I didn't feel comfortable.
Okay, right.
As I said, I like to be out in the open in a public space. I'm not walking down.
So he had asked you to meet him where that kind of little river
that's
is,
right.
And it's quite dark.
It's dark, and
right.
Yeah.
So you copped on now not to go
and
down there.
Not that. And I thought at this point, you know, that this is just somebody taking the pee, you know. I thought I was just going to get, like, stood up. Because that's the most dangerous thing that's ever happened to me on this. I've never had a problem.
So you've been on this site for a while.
Yeah.
So you kind of know what to do and not what to do. So you knew you were meeting somebody, you were going to meet in a public enough place where people were around.
That's right.
So when you got this, I'll meet you down, and you said no.
No, we'll just meet right outside the door.
And how was he going to know who you were?
Yes, I asked what you were wearing, what clothes, and told me, which was obviously false. He said, what are you wearing? I said, I told him what colour my car was and what the type was.
All right.
And so they knew who to kind of who to be expecting, and so I got there and kind of parked and kind of just to the right of the entrance. There's a sort of it's that walkway and there's like bushes and stuff. And I noticed a flurry of activity, and suddenly my door got pulled open.
Now, had you stopped at this stage?
I'd stopped, pulled over.
So you were waiting just for someone.
I was
to come
waiting,
along.
Yeah, and turned off the engine.
Okay.
And I was just sitting, you know, waiting. Wasn't expecting that.
No.
Like this, anyway. So, and suddenly my door got pulled open.
So you hadn't got your door locked, obviously?
No.
So, okay. So they obviously were waiting for you.
Yeah.
And seeing the car, you'd given them the car, what
That's
it looked
right.
like. So That's you
right.
were sitting there and your door was open. What happened?
Sitting duck. Pulled open the door. I was just taken aback. I didn't expect it. Suddenly start getting hip. There was a bunch of young lads, teenagers, maybe 16 to 20, I don't know.
And how many of them was there?
I thought there was more than the police said there were. There's probably, they said there's about six of them. I thought there was about 10. It just seemed like they were everywhere, and they were screaming and laughing and calling me faggot and paedophile and pervert.
So
and
they
all
just
these
pounced
things.
On you?
Literally, yeah.
Just they didn't give you no warning?
Oh, no, it was just the element of surprise was on their side, you know. They pulled the door open and started immediately throwing punches. And they had, some of them had weapons, like metal things. That's what hit me below the eye.
I can see, the visible marks on your face. And did they try to pull you out of the car?
That was the idea. And I luckily kind of, I thought, you know, I swung my legs out, start kicking at them, but they kept coming at me. The cop said during, it was only a minute long, the attack.
Yeah.
It felt like longer, of course, but the police officer, she said that, she looked at the CCTV and she says, for the whole attack, there was at least three of them attacking me in the car.
Oh, big brave men to do
very,
that
very
pick
brave,
on one man.
Yeah.
And at this stage, when they were doing this, was there any people around? Could you have shouted? Could you put your hand on the horn?
There were people, as I pulled in, there were people kind of just going in and out of the cinema, not gangs around, just small amounts of people. But I, as I said, I kept kicking them, got a few punches in myself. Not a violent person, but, you know, I'm not a small person either. Yeah. But it's difficult when you're sitting in a car and then they're all coming at you. And I looked over to my left, which is out my left window, and I saw people start coming out of the cinema, quite a lot of them. And then I thought to myself, you know, one of those guys is going to come around, smash my other window, because they kept going for my head. They were deliberately wanting to hurt you. I think they wanted to kill me. I don't think they wanted to hurt me.
So if you had gone down that laneway that he had asked you to go down,
I'd be probably dead.
You would probably wouldn't be talking to me here today.
I did that. I'd be in a hospital with some sort of brain.
Animals. What animals go out to do that, to viciously attack somebody for the sake of just... Is it a hate campaign now?
I think it's a combination of things. Let me just finish.
Go ahead.
I got sort of worried that they were going to come around, break the other mirror window. So I started honking. I tried to turn the car on. I was going to see if I could, and they hit me in the hand. Tried to grab my keys out. They couldn't. And then I thought the only way I'm getting out of this is by getting attention, getting help. So I didn't take my hand off the horn for 10, 15 seconds. People started coming over, walking slowly over, because they knew something bad was going on. And I shouted a few times, help. And they backed off a little bit. And the officer said this, one of them jumped on my windshield. But I thought it was something blunt that hit my windshield. I don't really know. I can't remember. That was the last thing. The scary thing about the whole experience is the whole thing from beginning to end, they were laughing.
Really?
Like, it was just entertainment for them. It was like you and I might go to the cinema, for example. Just they set out to do that to somebody. That was their plan.
It just doesn't make sense. As I'm saying, it's just a horrific attack for some, as you say, about six of them to just do this to one person and just attack you violently. And I suppose nowadays a lot of people, if they hear something going on, they kind of tend to, I'm not getting involved. Yeah. Did people actually come over to the car?
I was honking the horn. It wouldn't stop. And they went away and they ran into the bushes laughing.
Animals.
And I got out and I started shouting, help, help, help. And people come over immediately, like three or four different couples, and they were very nice, very helpful, very supportive, and they stayed with me. And security from the Odeon came out; they were very good as well, as with the staff in there, and waited for the ambulance and the police.
So the ambulance came and took you to the hospital.
Yeah, the ambulance came and he treated me right there for what he could, and then the police arrived and they talked to me in the ambulance. Told me about they gave me an appointment to go in for a report Wednesday week. I thought that was a very long time to wait, you know, considering a bunch of scumbags had just tried to kill me. And that's part of the reason I went public, because, you know, if you hide behind a screen, nobody else is going to get any help out of an action, you know.
Well, obviously, if they've done this to you, they're obviously going to do it to somebody else.
They'll do it to someone else.
Seriously.
Yeah, and it might be somebody that's maybe... I was able to fight them off a little bit.
And you were lucky you had your
car.
I
was very lucky, yeah. And it might even be from a young woman or something from Tin.
Well, listen, you had the bit of protection that you had your car, that you could sit in your car, even though they came opened it and they attacked you in your car. Yeah. I mean, you're a person who has been on ground. You've done this before. You're not naive.
No.
You know the signs. So you knew you were kind of safe enough sitting in your car. Outside a cinema, it wasn't in a dark alley.
No.
You didn't go down to the ask. Well, at the time, you thought it was one man asking you to meet you down somewhere to walk because he was afraid. If you had done that, as we said, you might not be here today. Obviously, you said the CCTV they've been seen, and obviously the handprints are on the car.
That's right. The police took my car. Well, they took it away because I couldn't drive. I couldn't even walk properly. And most of my the damage that I got done to me wasn't on my face. It was on below my legs, below my waist.
So you were kicking out from your legs.
Yeah, they were punching me and kicking me with metal instruments. So my legs were all bruised.
Did they have a hammer? I once heard someone was a hammer.
I thought it was a hammer, but apparently it was some sort of another metal instrument. I can't remember.
It doesn't matter what it is. It was still an
instrument.
They were all taking a swipe at you.
Yeah,
it wasn't one man.
Well, it was like a swarm of animals.
How can people carry out these vicious attacks? Like, how can they do this?
I don't know.
How has it affected you? I know physically I can see the scars in your face and I can see what you're going through. But mentally, I mean, it must have left a horrible frightening.
Oh, it has left me a little bit more wary of sort of, just putting myself into certain environments. And just because I put my face online and, I wanted people to know about this. I wanted to go public to see if I could get people's awareness peaked or raised. And I think it's done that. But on a personal level, just going out, I had to push myself to go out the last several days, like to the shops and this and that and the other. But people have been great.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a haze or a daze or whatever you want to call it.
I know you've been on and you've been talking, which is great. You've been on a few radio stations, but I said I want to talk to you because this is the local radio station. Yeah. You're from the area, and not that we want to be given bad press for the area, because we don't want that. We want it to be a nice area to live in.
This can happen anywhere.
I got
assaulted a few years ago on Baggot Street helping a homeless person that was being attacked by three yobs from Blackwater College.
It can happen anywhere. But you think they attacked you because you're gay?
Oh, yeah. Well, in this instance, they did. Yeah, this instance, they kind of, my own opinion is they'd gone out of the way to set up a honey trap and trap someone. But I do believe that they would do this to maybe a young woman off Tinder or an ethnic minority or a person that's black. I think their hatred is whatever it is that night.
Yeah,
and they plan accordingly, and I just happen to, to be in the wrong place, at the wrong time, on the wrong site.
And what about the site itself, like Grindr or the other dating sites? If they only come up, can they trace this person who was contacting you? Surely there has to be a phone number you have to put on.
That's what the police officers trying to sort out. I've tried since last week to get through to Grindr. There's no phone number for them. I've emailed them several times, but they're a vast international corporation, and they kind of don't really care about what happens to people as long as they get,
And this isn't the first time we've heard something like this.
It has happened.
There's a few incidents that has happened, over the years. But the last one that I can remember was that poor guy in Fairview Park, Declan Flynn, going back to 1982. We're 2019 now. Like, we're accepting a lot more, welcoming change. Like, I thought at this stage, let everyone live, let everyone be happy in where they are and what they're doing. So why such a negative... why attack somebody because they're gay?
Well, like I said, I think these people would attack people because you're whatever flavour they're looking for that night.
Yeah.
Now, they might be homophobic. I think in general, they're probably just stupid.
Mm.
Most people have moved on. Most people are more progressive and accepting. They understand. And we all have gay friends and, family and whatever. But I think these people are just a gang of non-thinking scrotes. Excuse my language there.
They don't have the capacity
to think beyond hatred.
And have they been picked up on the CCTV? Can they be noticed? They can be noticed,
but the police are looking, as I said, the fingerprints on my car, they're all over the car. They're also trying to, the police themselves have gotten through to Grindr. They're talking to them about IP addresses and everything.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to hunt these down. My own personal thing is, everybody out there knows everybody else and we're all connected. And if you hear somebody whispering and laughing about something, and you hear the word attack or something like that, you know, I'm just hoping one person will come forward and get these scumbags off the street.
I just hope so. What has the reaction been on social media? Have you had good support?
Absolutely. People have been absolutely amazing. I have to say it's been a very different experience to anything I've ever had before, because I'm very private.
Yeah.
I don't like...
Well, you felt you just had to do this.
I had to do it because enough is enough. And if these little scumbags were allowed to get away with this, they'll do it again. I'm a big guy and I got a few kicks in. I was able to hold them off. Somebody else might not be able to do that.
It could have been a completely different situation. You could have been talking about you being killed.
That's right. That's right.
Last Tuesday.
That's right.
Only if you had the sense to stay in your car, you went to a public enough area, you know, to meet somebody. But they obviously had this premeditated to go out and just...
Yeah.
Have their fun, and that's what it was.
That's what it was, fun for them.
You know, past a few hours. Scumbags.
Yeah.
And they are scumbags. Yeah. That's all I can say. Yeah. It's terrible. It really is. Does this put you off now going on Grindr again?
No, I'm not going to be put off doing something that, you know, I've never had a problem with before because of a bunch of scumbags. I'll be a bit more vigilant. I mean, I've been vigilant anyway. I don't normally meet people first time. I talked to them about this person. I had a rough couple of days and something else, and I just fancied talking to someone, have a bit of company.
Just have a bit of company.
And this is how it turned out. And I've never had an issue with it before. I've made some really good friends off it. I'm not saying that problems don't happen on it. They do. And I think that's definitely something Grindr needs to step up to the mark with and address. I don't know how some scumbags can actually go on and set up a false account with the intention of either hurting someone or killing them, with no record being available of how, who they are.
Well, see, that's the thing is, you know, is everyone, is there any history of people that are going on this? Yeah. Has Grindr got can they check? Yeah. Like any other dating app.
Yeah. Well, if they don't have it, they need to change it.
You know, there is so many dating apps out there now. And a lot of people meet people through that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is now. I mean, a lot of people meet people on dating apps now.
Yeah, they do.
Instead of going into pubs or whatever else, that's the way it is. And a lot of young people, children probably have been on it and meet. And as I said, 9 out of 10 times people are okay, but then you have that instance. So what advice would you give to somebody if they have arranged to meet somebody? For the first time,
don't meet them unless they've been verified through like Instagram or another form of social media that's very directly traceable, or a phone number. If you're still going to go ahead and meet them somewhere very, very public, like in the middle of a busy McDonald's or something.
Yeah,
you know, just take all excuse me, you know, take as many security measures as you can. But I don't think people should be put off, you know, meeting other people.
But get a phone number, maybe.
Get a phone number,
and maybe.
Maybe
even ring them, talk to them beforehand, and don't just go on the, as you thought, like, I'll meet this person and they were okay. Luckily enough, I can see, you have facial injuries. Where else? Your legs, you were hurt as well.
My legs and I've got kind of a... my legs, my sister showed them. She says I look like a warthog. Some sort of animal. I've never seen one, but I've got all these bumps and bruises everywhere. And
so you ended up in Beaumont Hospital on Tuesday night.
Were you
there for a long time getting treated?
I was quite lucky. I was only there for 6 hours.
Well, okay for Beaumont, because
it's very there. I've spent a lot of time in Beaumont recently, and I've been there for 12 to 15 hours at times. So they were very good, very supportive, and it was a lovely family. I never got their name. A lovely family from Artain that they were in there with a son, a mother and her daughter. I can't remember the name, but they were so sweet and so kind and so supportive.
Yeah.
I was a bit shaky, and they were really kind to me. You know, as have 99.9% of people who've answered me. I've only had one or two negative comments.
Yeah. Well, look, Mark, you've gone through a terrible time. And as I said, I know you've been on social media. I know you've been on radio stations for the past week, and you're probably tired of talking about it now. But I'm glad you came in today. I'm glad that hopefully they will be caught. As you said, there's CCTV, there are their handprints are all over the cars. You know, that was a bit stupid of them anyway, you know, because hopefully they will be caught and hopefully this won't ever happen again. We don't want to see another person being killed like Jacqueline Flynn. No. And, you know, that was horrific.
It was horrific.
But that could have been you again.
Yeah.
That could have been, if you hadn't have thought of staying in your car, waiting there.
Yeah.
And the only thing you did wrong was probably not having your door locked.
Yeah, I'll make sure I'll be locking my door. Well, I won't be, I'll be, as I says, I'll be just more vigilant.
You'd be no more.